The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk and listen.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You have the personality of a soggy newspaper.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
You know, go to bed, you'll feel better is pretty much the human version of did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
This is a voice guy from your favorite podcast, Two Douchebags and a Microphone. People often ask us how they can find us when doing a remote broadcast. One, smell. Go to the city market and start sniffing. Our aroma has been described as a mixture of flea powder for goats, Tabasco sauce, and old sock with dark fuzzy urine. Two, look for the spot absent of patrons. Three, the most telling sign is a crowd of patrons vomiting uncontrollably. Four, just call us at 816-512-7717.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. Who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Hey, look. I think we found land. Oh my god, I think we're safe. Oh no! It's the island of horrible jokes.
In some areas in Hawaii, laughter is frowned upon, but aloha is appropriate.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Due to the fact that I am going to go to Eureka Springs in the morning and be gone for 3 days, this is a bonus episode that we decided to record tonight after recording the first episode of tonight. And tomorrow is Labor Day, and you'll be getting this sometime
next week.
Oh, Memorial Day. Did I say Labor Day? I've been saying that all damn day. Sorry, Memorial Day. So anyhow, I don't have a first third on this because this is an impromptu. Didn't have any time of writing. So anyhow, you get what you get, okay? So, all right. What I want to go into first is this neat article that I found. And it's simply entitled, Taste of Home. Website, and it's 14 food logos with sneaky hidden messages in them. That sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, the Nestle logo. The Nestle logo, it says Nestle down there with the bar over the top of it and all that. And then it has like a picture of two birdlings and a mama bird getting ready to feed them in a nest. Everybody's seen it. Famous. Okay, here's what it says. Ever notice the bird's nest is the logo of some Nestle products? Henry Nestle, founder of the brand, incorporated this part of his family's coat of arms into the logo when he started the company. So that was his family's coat of arms, and that's why he chose to have the birds on it in a nest. So the next one, I find that pretty interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, that is pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is stuff you'll never know unless you run across some interesting articles like this. Next one is Duncan Hines, you know, the cake people. So, Duncan Hines, the logo's hidden meaning can easily be missed. If you look closely at the Duncan Hines logo, you can see that the white part looks almost like the bottom half of a book. And that's intentional. Duncan Hines was a real person who started his career as a traveling salesman. He wrote a book detailing the best restaurants he'd visited across the country while selling. The logo is a tribute to the company's founder. And if you look at it, you can tell it looks like an open book at the bottom of it. And then it's just kind of like, they did a design with an open book at the bottom and went from there. And that's pretty interesting. If you guys have any questions, just look up the logos on the internet so you understand what I'm saying. You know, you can do it with me right now. I'm giving you plenty of time. So, okay. Next one is Lay's, as in the potato chips. Okay, there are two logos with hidden meanings. The Lay's logos looks a lot more like the logo of its parent company, Frito-Lay. The company website says, from summer barbecues to family gatherings to time spent relaxing at the end of a long day, Frito-Lay snacks are part of some of life's most memorable moments. From this perspective, the sun logo makes sense. We definitely associate potato chips with summer and sunny days. So, there you go. I guess I see the sun there, I guess, yes. That one. Okay. All right, I'll just go ahead.
And the Lay's original are yellow bag.
Yes, that's true. You know what? It's probably true. You're right. Yeah, the original Lay's are a yellow bag. Okay. Next, Wendy's. The Wendy's fast food chain was named after founder Dave Thomas's daughter. She also appears in the company's friendly logo. But there's one more family member hidden in the picture. Take a closer look at the redhead's ruffled collar, and you'll see the word mom, and it's true. Look up the Wendy's logo.
I've seen it.
Yes. This was supposedly to make people associate, and I don't know if it's true, but this is what the word on the street has been for a long time. They decided to go with the mom-looking necklace on Wendy because they wanted people to think of it not as fast food, but more home-style food. Home-style quality is what they were going after. So whether you believe that or not...
I've heard that rumor.
Yeah, I think Wendy's is easily one of the best fast food burger joints they have. What do you think?
Yeah, it's like there's something different about it. I like it.
Yeah, well, one of the things is I'm pretty sure they still do this. They do not freeze their meat. It is all coming unfrozen, straight from wherever they ground up the burger and put them in patties. Supposedly the burgers are never frozen, so they don't, you know, freezing something takes a little taste out of it normally, right?
Yeah.
So I think one of the things is that, and the other thing is I think some of the spices and probably the mixture of meats that they use, it might be a little bit higher grade than some of the other spots. So anyhow, Baskin-Robbins. If you didn't already know that Baskin-Robbins offered 31 flavors when they first started out, the logo offers you another clue. The magic number is hidden in the curve of the B and the stem of the R. Pick up one or two of the current flavors and make a cool ice cream dessert. 31 is in the middle. 31 flavors. So if you look at BR in the middle, okay, the middle are different colors, and it says 31. But you won't notice it until I tell you this. 31 flavors. So that's pretty unique right there. It looks like a BR, and if you're not thinking about it, you're not going to see the 31 in the middle.
So now that you mention it, I'm seeing it.
See? Yeah, interesting. I love articles like this because
Around the bee would be the, yeah, I could see it.
Now. Yeah, see? Yeah, pretty cool. Now, I'm familiar with this next product, but it's a Swiss milk chocolate with honey and almond nougat. It's called Toblerone, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you do? Is that how you pronounce it, Toblerone?
Dude, we used to sell them.
Oh!
The Little League Baseball.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've had them before. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like triangles.
Yes. They sell for like a buck or something. Yeah, I know. And it goes fundraiser can. It's fundraising candy bars. So.
And they do sell them in stores, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Toblerone, the Toblerone Candy Company, was started in Bern, Switzerland, a city famously associated with bears. According to the legend, the city of Bern owes its name to a furry hibernator. When you look closely, you might be able to see a little something brewing in the company's mountain logo. So, let's see here. Oh, shit. Perfect. There is a bear standing up on its hind legs, walking in the middle of the mountain of the Toblerone. Toblerone. Wow. It is plain as day now that they mention it. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And after this, I'm gonna go into one thing in rock music that I know is on an album cover that most people do not know. And I want y'all to look at it, too. So this is just my own. Okay. Burger King.
I wonder if it's the same thing I'm thinking of.
Hang on.
We'll find out.
Okay. All right. I was going to put it on pause, but anyhow, we'll just...
No, go ahead.
We'll do it organically. It's better like that. Okay. Burger King. The Burger King logo gets right to the point. The words Burger and King are two juicy hamburgers nestled between two buns. If the logo has your mouth watering, head to a drive-thru and order something from Burger King's secret menu, which I know about. I'm trying to figure out where they have here. Oh, okay. This is relatively easy. The top and the bottom of the Burger King logo looks like burger buns. So, okay. All right, if I understand that right, that's pretty much it. The Burger King logo gets right to the point. The words Burger and King are two juicy hamburgers nestled between two buns. Okay, you know what? I'm going to move on because I don't necessarily see that one the way it's described. Okay, next one is Subway. The Subway logo does its pointing with two hidden arrows. The first letter and the last letter of the name symbolize the entrance and exit of, you guessed it, a Subway. That's one clever way to design a hidden meaning in a logo, if we do say so ourselves. Yeah. Okay, you know Subway, there's arrows on each side of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It is suspended from the ceiling on all Subways, and it hangs down, and one arrow points to the exit, and one arrow points to the entrance. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, so if there's ever a fire and you can see that, well, hopefully you picked the right arrow, right?
Right.
All right. Tostitos. You won't believe you didn't notice this logo with a hidden meaning before. The two T's in the corner of the logo on Tostito chip salsas and dips are two people munching on chips. The eye between them is a bowl of salsa at a table. Let's take a look here. Son of a bitch. Yeah. Yep. And in between them is a tortilla chip. Wow. Everybody. Rewind this or whatever you got to do, but I'm giving you plenty of time to look at these. Look up these images. It's really cool. And the stuff that I've never noticed before until they brought this up. So, yeah, wow, cool. Next one is Hershey Kisses. The logo on every package of Hershey Kisses give a little bit of love to everybody who buys a bag. An extra kiss is cleverly tucked in between the K and the I. You have to tilt your head a little to get it, just like a real smooch. So let's take a look. Oh, wow. That's pretty damn cool. Wow. Okay. Are you playing along, Rob, or not?
No, I'm not looking it up. I've got another one looked up, but I'm listening to you.
Okay. Okay. The next one is Twix. Twix in the dot of the I and the Twix logo. There are two tiny Twix bars to subtly highlight the company's left-right Twix campaign. Get your Twix fix in a supersize with ease. Chocolate caramel balls is what it says here. Now let me look here. The Twix bar, okay. In the dot of the I and the Twix logo, there are two tiny Twix bars. Yep. Yep. Okay, never noticed that before either until it's pointed out by this article. Next one, Orbit and Eclipse gum. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. Go ahead.
I would just say I wouldn't know about that.
You don't chew gum?
No, I don't.
Okay. Orbit and Eclipse. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to chew gum, but you'll have to do some research to decipher these logos. In the Orbit logo, the O is half dark and half light to symbolize the day and night of the Earth's orbit. Oh, cool. Okay. Never thought about it like that. Earth's orbit, look closely and you'll see a solar eclipse is hiding behind the Eclipse Wow logo. That's so true. Wow.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the Orbit logo is an O, is a half dark and half lit moon, and then Eclipse behind it is a dark moon with light around it representing an eclipse. That's pretty cool. I like that one.
Next, yeah, that is cool.
Next one is Heinz Ketchup. Heinz. Every bottle of Heinz Ketchup highlights the company's 57 varieties, but the 57 doesn't have much to do with the number of products the Heinz company makes. Founder John Henry Heinz's lucky number was 5, and his wife's lucky number was 7. That adds up. Okay, everybody thought that 57 was Heinz 57. They went by their two lucky numbers.
Huh.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and right on there it says 57 varieties. Cool. And then, finally, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has a couple of secrets. There's a reason for the ridiculously good chicken sandwiches, and of course, they've got a whole secret menu of great food. This message in this logo isn't exactly hidden, but the chicken in the sea makes it clear what the chain's focus is. Let's see here. Oh, okay. The C is a picture of a rooster. It's got its eyes, it's got a beak, and it's got the, what do you call it, the crown?
Yeah.
Really neat. I'd never noticed that before either. Maybe I should have, maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know. Huh. Very cool. All right, that's all of them. But I have my own personal one that I wanted to bring up to everybody. You know the album Mob Rules by Black Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go here and explain something to you. You can't see it, per se, unless someone's told you about it. So let's see. Mob Rules album cover. Okay, if you click on it, in the middle of the tattered, what would you call it, blanket or whatever, the tattered tarp that's bloodstained, in the middle of that, yeah, there is a goat head symbol. You can only see it unless someone told you about it. And it's really cool. So are you going to go with that?
I'm looking up right now.
Yep. I found this out.
Damn, there it is.
See, it's plain as day if you're told about it. Supposedly, this whole album cover has a bunch of secret messages and images in it. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Rob. I'm going to come up with the Secrets of the Mob Rules album cover and let everybody know in on all of them. And what I suggest is this. When I do this, you guys go and look up the image yourself. It's, you can Google it right now. Rob did it. I did it. And plain as day, one of the biggest things is the goat head in the middle of it. So, anyhow, you wouldn't know that unless someone told you about it. And I found out about it because of this televangelist that that came out with it. And he is the one that brought that up. And me and Davey were kind of like, we didn't believe it at first. And then we went and took a look at it. And we're like, wow, it's there as plain as day, isn't it, Rob?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, Rob. We are turning to you for the next story.
Okay. Well, while we're on that, I've got another one real quick.
Okay.
The band Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to album covers, too.
Okay, that's cool.
Their first album, Boston, Boston, and their second album, Don't Look Back.
Uh-huh.
And their greatest hits, even. You know how all them have spaceships on them?
Yes.
If you look on those albums, them spaceships are upside down guitars.
Topher told me that actually a while back. That's very cool. Okay.
I'm looking at them right now. Okay. I also have a story if you want one of them too.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Have you ever heard of the Beeman Monster?
Don't think so.
Okay, well, I'm about to tell you about it.
That's cool. And hell, Rob, I've forgotten about that. Topher told me about it originally. Yep, sure the hell is. It's a guitar. Okay, anyhow, go ahead.
Okay, and this credit goes to jackandkitty.com.
Okay.
It's called The Beeman Monster, a century-old mystery that continues to haunt Missouri.
Is this like Boggy Creek and all that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
For over a century, tales of a mysterious creature known as the Beeman Monster have haunted the small town of Beeman, Missouri. Described as a towering ape-like beast with glowing eyes and a terrifying presence, this enigmatic entity has become the stuff of legend. Nestled in west central Missouri's Pettis County, this unassuming community has become the epicenter of a paranormal legend that has captivated the imaginations of generations. Throughout the years, numerous eyewitnesses have come forward with their accounts of the Beeman Monster. Russell Holman, an 81-year-old Sedalia native, recalls stories passed down from his father about a 12-foot-tall gorilla that escaped from a circus train wreck in 1904. Some believe this gorilla to be the ancestor of the Beeman Monster.
Okay.
Apart from eyewitness accounts, there have been reports of physical evidence left behind by the Beeman Monster. Steve Mallard, a 41-year-old from Smithton, discovered numerous enormous footprints near his parents' barn when he was 12. The prints were so large that Mallard and his friend couldn't match their stride. In addition to footprints, there have been instances of animals found mauled to death on farms in the area with no signs of another animal's presence.
These
peculiar occurrences have only fueled the legend of the Beeman Monster.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've never heard of that.
As you can tell, this is up around Sedalia.
Oh, okay. Wow, I can't believe I've never heard of that, Rob. Have you heard about it before this article?
No, I had not. And that's what drew my attention to it, because it's so close. And actually, here 2-3 podcasts ago, I read one about a Bigfoot that was up in that area, but this is a different one.
Wow.
It's a different look, a little bit different location.
Yeah, neat. Thank you, Rob.
50 Highway.
Yeah, 50 Highway, yep. Okay, maybe when I'm there watching Glenn Hughes and Head East, perhaps I'll see one of them. I'll be on 50 Highway.
Look for big glowing red lights and off in the distance.
Okay, all right.
They're not lights, they're eyes.
Oh, okay. Now, what if the acid doesn't wear off by that time? Do you think I still should look for them or just ignore them if they're there?
If you do the acid, don't even look for them.
Okay, all right. I'll be on the acid, so I'm not going to look.
Everybody will look like Bigfoot.
Okay, all right. I better stay away from that, though. All right. And I will not eat the brown M&Ms either. Or no, the brown acid. Van Halen was the ones that demanded brown M&Ms at every show. I love that. Everyone hated brown M&Ms, and Van Halen demanded that the platters that they gave them only had brown M&Ms in them. You talk about being a pain in the ass, right?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, get the band the M&Ms. Wait a minute. They only want brown. What? Brown M&Ms? Yeah, they only want brown ones. Oh, bullshit. No one like... No. They said brown M&Ms. If not, we're all fired. Fuck. Okay. Get 30 times as many M&M bags and get all the brown ones out of them and put them in a bowl. That's awesome. That's exerting your power being a prick, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I love that. I'm not saying I'm beyond that. I'd do it too, but I think it's awesome. Alrighty. Let's take our first break of this here bonus episode, and I'm going to come back with some weird facts about things that happened that you probably didn't know happened. So, we'll see. We'll talk to you in a minute. Yeah, we'll talk to you in a minute.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Bark.
I should have never taught that damn dog how to read.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
How do you tell when you're out of invisible ink? Huh. I may never know.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origins of beignet. Beignets first made an appearance in New Orleans in the 1700s when French Creole colonists settled the land. According to NewOrleans.com, also known as French Arcadians, they moved to the Bayou Lands in Louisiana after they were forced from their homes in the Nova Scotia area by the British, reports Britannica.
Now, from his underground bunker in Camden, in Missouri, stocked full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, it's Ramblings of a Madman, featuring Rob Rad.
I intend to live forever. So far, so good.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You look like you smell like cheese.
Two douchebags and microphone. Mark here.
And I'm Rob.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm going to start off this here segment with some odd facts that most people probably don't know about. So, the first one is Frank Lloyd Wright family was murdered by a disgruntled employee and his house was burnt down as well by the same disgruntled employee. Okay, that's not very well known, I don't believe. I'd never heard that, have you?
No, I had never heard that part. I know who he is, but I've never heard that part.
So, wow. That sucks. Okay. Marilyn Monroe struggled with stuttering her whole life. I actually knew that one. Yeah, she stuttered her whole life and had a problem with it. You know, it was like a big problem to her. So, completely believe that because I read that in a magazine. No, not a magazine. A book about some of the famous people like Marilyn Monroe and what have you. Other people, too. I forgot what it was about Frank Sinatra. Shit. Oh, well. I'll have to look it up. The next one. Nikola Tesla was a supporter of eugenics, a set of practices aiming to improve the genetic quality of the human race. He thought the only way was sterilization of the unfit. Nikola Tesla thought that.
Okay. Well,
yeah. Yeah, eugenics is a fucked up way of thinking. It's like you take the weak out and destroy them because they're going to hurt the whole herd. That's the philosophy behind it. So, Samuel Morse, inventor of the telegraph, was a snob that thought his paintings of the Mona Lisa was the best version of it. Cool. I like that. Yeah. I could see him right now, the inventor of the telegraph, going around, "Mine is the best. Look at it. Clearly. Clearly. Mine is better than that other one. I have the best Mona Lisa ever. You should worship it. Right now. Get on your knees. You worship my Mona Lisa right now, or you can't use my telegraph, bitch." Right? All right. Napoleon wrote a failed romance novel to another man. No, I added that. Napoleon wrote a failed romance novel. I believe it, that little fucking short stack. You know, he probably had micro penis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why he was so angry. He looked down every day and saw that little penis and was like, "Why me?" Oh, speaking of that, there's this guy that used to give me shit at work all the time, right? And anyhow, his name was Bill, love the guy. He's since passed away. And every time I told him, I said, "Every time you take a piss, you look down at your extremely small micro penis and you look up at God and go, why me? Why did I have to have this small, small penis? Everyone else here, I see them come in, they're pissing out of a regular size penis, but not me. I have this super small penis. Why did you do that to me?" He was getting so mad at me. "Oh, fuck you, man. What do you know?" I'm like, "Yeah." I go, "No, man, we can tell." I say, "Look, man, you obviously have nothing there. I mean, your pants like go in around your groin instead of go out. You have no penis, and we all know this." So, it was fun. Alrighty. Henry Ford tried to end World War II by sailing to Europe on a peace ship. I didn't know that was fact. I always thought that was one of those rumors that was bullshit. Guess not. Next one. Saddam Hussein, or Saddam if you're George W., also, no, H.B. Bush, I think, called him Saddam. Saddam Hussein also wrote romance novels. He even consulted American romance writers to get opinions. And if they didn't like it, he'd have them beheaded, probably. So, a lot of romance writers between evil fucking dictators. You notice that? Napoleon and Saddam Hussein? I find it interesting that they both liked romance novels and wrote them. Okay, next one. Sir Isaac Newton was a waiter. He waited tables at Cambridge. He had to do something, right?
Yeah, he had to do something.
Yeah. I mean, the gravity invention was cool. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he got bored after that apple hit him in the fucking head, right?
Yep.
He's probably like, well, I wonder what I'll do now. Okay, gravity made that apple hit me in the head. You know what? I'll go wait tables at Cambridge. Sounds like a logical transition, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Leonardo da Vinci was an animal activist. I knew that. He was an avid animal activist. He was, like, fucking obsessed with it. Next one, Ernest Hemingway. Hemingway, not Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway, great writer from the Key West. Classic novelist For Whom the Bell Tolls and Old Man and the Sea. Wrote apple pie recipes and hamburger recipes as a hobby. You imagine that grumpy that mean old grumpy Ernest Hemingway. People hated him. He was a miserable person, supposedly, and they couldn't stand him.
That's what I've heard.
All he wanted was people to like his apple pie and hamburger recipes, and he probably would have been a lovely gentleman, right? That's the way I see it. I don't know. And finally, Cleopatra is known for being the last pharaoh of Egypt. She was not Egyptian. She was actually Macedonian. I wonder if they knew that.
Wow.
I'll bet you Egypt didn't know that. I'll bet you they didn't know that, and they found that out later through DNA.
They used to do
phone booths. She may not
have.
She may not have even known it, actually.
Right off the highway, right off of 71 or 49.
Okay, Rob, we turn to you once again.
Hit there, right off the exit ramp.
Okay, I'm going to jump back to the music world.
That sounds good to me.
Some shit, right? And I know
former Iron Maiden vocalist Paul Di'Anno has distanced the band from the new wave British heavy metal in a new interview. And for those of you that don't know who he is, Di'Anno joined Maiden in 1978 and appeared on their first two albums, Iron Maiden in 1980 and Killers in 1981 before being fired in 1981.
And he was replaced by Bruce Dickinson.
And the rubbers.
Yep. He actually had a solo career going for a while, and people heckled him so bad, I think he quit. They used to go, "Where's Bruce? Where's Bruce?" You look us up on the internet. And he'd always go, "Oh, he sings opera, la 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 la," and all that stuff, and try to make fun of him. And it was brutal. People would like throw stuff up there and shit. Anyhow, go ahead.
Okay, talking exclusively in the current issue of Metal Hammer, Di'Anno has said that the Maiden felt no kinship with the rest of the early 80s UK metal scene, also composed of Def Leppard, Venom, Saxon, and more. And that his band was the ones leading the charge. Nah, we felt like we were out on our own, Di'Anno told Hammer's Dave Everly.
Let's just call it fucking.
They couldn't pigeonhole us, and we were a heavy metal band, but we played fast like a punk band, but with all these complicated riffs. They didn't know how to label us, so they called us a new wave of British heavy metal.
Hey, you know, I got right
next
to you.
You know, every fucking band
is
jumping on that
one. And all this stuff.
There's been a lot of bands that tempered themselves after Iron Maiden, obviously. A lot of them that are still going today. And he is right on that. He is very right on that. Iron Maiden did not get popular for a long time. I mean, they were popular worldwide, but in America they were non-existent because of their unique style. Okay, Def Leppard was being played on the radio. All these other bands were being played on the radio from that area, right? But Iron Maiden never had been. They never had. They still don't have very much radio play. But they are one of the most popular bands ever of all time. And they did it without any type of recognition from radio or TV or anything. And it's very unique what they do and how they do it. You know, their music or compositions. And it's intricate. It's very talented. Talented and the mascot Eddie really started all the other mascots like Vic Rattlebone and Alistair Fiend. Right? Wouldn't you say that? Eddie started that type. Yeah. Paul Di'Anno is absolutely right because they were so like nobody knew what they were. That they could not be mainstream ever because people couldn't fathom that type of music.
That one before.
Too right, intricate and too long for most people.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm
but
sorry.
You know, everybody loves them. I mean, anyone that's listened to them probably really likes them. So, and they are one of the most popular bands sales-wise and everything else. So, very cool. Does Paul Di'Anno say anything?
Most people are just kind of like,
you can read the full interview in Metal Hammer.
That I was fucking with just constantly.
That's cool. I love that article. Thank you, Rob. That was cool. I agree with that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. And it was actually very ballsy for them to fire Paul Di'Anno because they didn't know about Bruce Dickinson at the time. And, you know, Paul Di'Anno was good in Iron Maiden. Much better than Blaze Bailey, the guy that replaced Bruce Dickinson when Bruce Dickinson stepped out for a few years to become a pilot for British Airlines. And Blaze Bailey was so bad that they left him in Argentina. Or something. The band just left him there. They all took off and left him there. So, anyhow, found that pretty interesting stuff. So, I got another story here real quick. Looks like Chick-fil-A got the memo that fans are loving sweet and savory combinations. So because the restaurant is reportedly releasing another menu item that features a flavor combo. Nearly 1 year after Chick-fil-A added the honey pepper pimento cheese sandwich to menus for a limited time, the chain is said to be adding the maple pepper bacon sandwich to menus nationwide. Wow. Did you hear that, Rob? Maple pepper bacon sandwich. That sounds good.
The Grandview Dick Smack or whatever.
Boy, I wonder who came up with that down there at Chick-fil-A. That's pretty solid.
Southside idiot.
That's some solid thinking there with that sweet and spicy deal going on.
Out, you know, and I didn't want to know. Right.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Whole scuff up, you know,
anyhow, Rob, you got anything else, or are we going to shut this bitch down?
Were you briefly entertained?
It is 10 o'clock.
Oh, I was entertained for a while. I mean, especially you guys.
Go right on ahead if you want to keep going. It doesn't bother me.
To try to insult you and one-up you.
You want to hear about sharks in the Missouri River?
Continue like Davey.
Yes,
roll over
I do.
So many insults on him.
Okay.
Just keep getting madder and madder and go, oh, yeah, fuck
well, his story starts off with the guy.
Oh, you went through the F-bomb.
And then Jaws comes out.
Oh, someone give me some iced tea. Oh, my God. Oh, the
Then he goes into training. So I decided to do some investigating to get an answer to the question, have sharks ever been found in the Missouri River?
And I started saying something, you know.
According to UKPI.com, as far as bull sharks are concerned, there were two known sightings in the Mississippi River over the past
century. Who is this?
One in Alton, Illinois, and one in 1937. And another in Missouri.
That was the last time I called him, like, fuck, man. I know that's it, man.
Don't worry anymore. And all of this.
Yep.
The Missouri and Mississippi rivers regularly dip below 35 degrees for months at a time. Mm-hmm. But a bull shark prefers tropical waters that stay above 69 degrees.
Yeah, well, I got a neat little story here about a...
Wow.
A marine biologist at Florida International University says that even though the shark's behaviors may change, the risk of someone seeing one so far from the ocean is very small. Okay, well, I feel much better now. However, if some random pontoon drifts by blurring the Jaws theme, I'll be on my way immediately to the top floor of the Capitol building.
Davey, too, but more me. He really hated me.
There have been two known sightings.
Well, I believe that sharks can live in fresh water. They just choose not to. They prefer ocean. And also another thing is they probably don't go down channels because they're big fish.
We found this out. was to have a setup guy that no one
knew. It would probably be like...
They come up in Mississippi.
Yeah. I did see that. Well, the last few years, not this year, they've been getting a lot of rain, I think. I think the drought down there has finally let up and eased up. But for a few years there, the drought was hitting Louisiana, the whole drainage area there, so hard that the ocean water was flowing back up the Mississippi because the lower level of the Mississippi River. The water level was so low that the ocean was overriding it at the Gulf and going back up into the Mississippi with salt water, and it was really screwing up the ecology, the ecological system.
They used to do it all the time.
And I think I actually did a story on that, didn't I?
Missouri.
That looks like
you
might have beer.
And that could be another reason stuff like that happens is because of weather phenomena like that and what have you, because, you know, that does happen. And then when that does, you know, of course, that would make things like this happen. And, you know, sharks may not always find their way back. They may stay where they're at. You know, if they can live there, they're like, you know what, I got plenty of food. Just going to stay here. So, wow. Pretty freaking cool.
Well, that article did not specify where the one in 1995 happened. It just said Missouri.
Okay, Altoona, Illinois is up there. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it happened to be on the Mississippi River also.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them have been on the Mississippi, not Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, Mississippi. Yep, Alton, Illinois is on the Mississippi, and I've been through there plenty of times. Wow, okay. And there were bull sharks? Were both of them bull sharks, or do you remember?
Yeah, both of them are bull sharks. I just Googled it, and I got it pulled up here.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, they were on their way to St. Louis. Actually, it's the one named Alton. He bypassed St. Louis.
I don't blame him. He'd probably get shot.
Just saying.
He's like everyone else.
Alton is on the northeast corner of St. Louis.
Yeah. What you do there is you take the loop interstates around St. Louis, not through it. Hell, it's the same way in Kansas City, too, so don't get mad at me, St. Louis. We have a lot of listeners there. What'd you say?
My daughter lived in Grand City, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just on the other side of the bridge. Mm-hmm. And like 7 miles south of Alton.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so I can't even remember the real one.
Okay, cool. All righty. Well, Rob, I think I got to start doing things towards tomorrow, getting clothes and stuff like that. So. And you probably,
I understand that, buddy. So
and you probably need to be going to sleep, right?
I'm off today tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. It's Labor Day. Or Memorial Day, sorry. That's right. I forgot about that. All right. Well, I have got stuff I have to do. We're going to leave out early and get down there fairly early. So, anyhow, thank you, everybody, for listening. Hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky. Love you guys.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Ricky.
All righty. Dodge City, Kansas. Rah, rah. Anyhow. Thank you, assholes, for listening. But there is going to be a couple of segments after this of some ha-has from back in the day. Anyhow, thank you all for listening. Have a good night. Quickly went to
Jason to be the... Good night, assholes.
Next up, things overheard in hell. Spam. With Spam Helper tonight. How yummy.
Oh, yeah.
But there used to, they used to be upstairs, moved upstairs.
What's that over there?
So I think right across the food court.
It's this island of horrible jokes.
Oh, my copy in Microsoft Office. I will find you, and I will have my word.
Because I remember that part well, because people are coming to go movies and we're screwing with
our constant pursuit for a real newsletter.
Your grandmother always intrudes your thoughts at the last minute while
That'd be cool.
Now, Underground Bunker in Camden, Missouri. Stocked with dry guns, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys. It's a rambling Madman featuring Rob Rad.
Beanbags are basically
Your mom is so ugly. Your dad
and
takes
I remember
her work
really
every
well.
Day.
It was green with an orange MTV on it with her famous logo.
Hey there, yeah. Buckstick.
It was really cool looking.
You're just in time for brand new feature
sort of
news nobody gives a shit about.
In New York, 500 ballerinas break the ballerina dancing record all time.
It felt great. It felt like the seal of something.
Coming up, Blast from the Past. This is where we take old shows and incorporate them into new shows. Because you fucks refuse to go get it.
Davey started waving the card in the air and making fun of me because he got this and I didn't. You know, he's like, hey, you know, I'm going to be on this, whatever, you
video.
Know. Yeah. So, he's way around going, hey, I'm going to be on the video, and you're not, because you're too stupid, and you couldn't win, and all this stuff, right? So, this magical card was supposed to be a freebie to be an extra on the set of MTV. Mm-hmm. This is what we set it up to be, right? A list of hundreds of bands, the secret MTV guy walking around. He was walking around the mall, and this was going to be Sam eventually.
Mm.
So the secret MTV guy that has these free magical passes was Sam, only he didn't know it. So Davey's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, fucking asshole. Yeah, all this stuff. So automatically, see people getting ready to walk in, right? Yeah. Getting ready to go to a movie, they're like, dunk. Yeah, just like magnetic, dunk. They're just staring at us. And Davey's like, and all this stuff. I'm like, man, it sucks, man. You get to go and I don't. So Davey is waving this around, making fun of me, and Jason will walk by.
Mm-hmm.
They go, yeah, I fucking won one too, but I threw it at him because there's no punk bands on it. Fuck that. I don't want to go. So all of a sudden,
wow.
Those kids are fucking coming over there. What was this? So.
That's so clever.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, we set it up perfect. So the reason that we picked Sam to do this. To do this on that day was because we had the card for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing plain clothes, yeah. And I guess he thought he's going to catch shoplifters or something, not wearing his little fucking bitch outfit that he normally wore. So Jason, instead of us, goes, "Yeah, that fucking little douche right there is the one. That's the secret MTV guy." We didn't even say it. He did it. It sold it even more.
Yeah.
Because all these teens were like. You know, fucking their heads spun around and they're staring at him. And so Jason said,
wow.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, I bit him on the ear to get one. So the story was this.
It's getting better and better.
The more outrageous you were, the more likely you were to get a free pass
for
MTV.
Perfect.
Yeah. So automatically he had like fucking 50 teens jumping in front of him, fucking biting his ear, kicking him in the ass. One guy was clucking like a chicken in his face. Another guy's like, look, I'm a bird. Some guy fucking jumped off of one side. Another guy ripped off one of the trees and hit him with a switch. And Sam was just fucking freaking out, man. Like, what the fuck? And they're like, we want a pass. And he's like, what pass? This probably went on for fucking 25 minutes.
He was losing his mind.
Yes, he was.
He's
he
like,
didn't
what
know what
planet did I wake up on?
He'd get 10 teens away from him, right? And then he'd have 10 more teens attacking. So, we leave. We let this go on and let it go downhill. And those teens told another one, get the pass from that fucker. He didn't give us anything. So this just kept rolling on and rolling on and rolling on. So we come back a couple hours later. We went to, what we did. We went to Andy Santa Fe and had a burrito.
Mm, I remember the Andy's.
And we weren't even old enough to drink, but we still did because they never carded there.
Yeah,
we both
right.
had margaritas. We were fucking laughing, had our feet on the table and shit. Davey had fucking flip-flops on, so they eventually got mad and kicked us out because you could see his toenails hanging out. And people didn't like that.
Yeah.
So, we get back in, and all of a sudden we see Sam coming by, all disheveled. By this time, everything was gone. It was all said and done. I go, hey, Sam, you want to know where all that came from? Us. Davey pulled out the card and said, see this? I go, yeah, you just been had, bitch. Oh, he was fucking furious. He turned around and said, you motherfucker, I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you guys kicked out for good. I go, what for? I didn't do anything against them all.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get kicked out. That was one of the best fucking pranks we ever played.
Brilliant.
And I just thought about it the other day. I'm like, my God. There are some other ones. There are some other ones I got to remember that we did to him too. Mm-hmm. So, and then I got another one. You listened to the solo cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell the story about the nut biter.
Oh yes.
Oh gosh,
big and.
Oh no, looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.